edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, coming to you a little bit earlier than we do during the regular shows due to this being a national signing day for college football. Along with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and Jacob Blair's behind the scenes helping out for this afternoon's program. Again, this show coming this morning. We won't have the program this evening because of this, but it should be a fun show coming up. We'll be talking with Rich Wright here in just a little bit, as we'll talk about all the national letters of intent that have been signed so far today for Northwest Missouri State. And it's always an exciting day for college football, man.
Yeah, it really is. I think everything a little bit heightened up. And, of course, we're still a long way away from even getting into some of these spring practices and then the fall practices before that we get into actual season rolling around. But a lot of these players we won't see take the field in Bearcat uniforms for the upcoming season, but still kind of excited to see where the future's going. And I feel like right here, especially with the region that we're in, even though it's February, the football season's still kind of heightened in our minds with the Super Bowl just over the last weekend and the Chiefs winning it and the parade going on today. So everybody's football sense is a little bit heightened. Now it's National Signing Day. And for Northwest Missouri State, a team coming off 12 wins a season ago, a run in the playoffs, MIAA championship, is kind of excited to see what the future holds for the Bearcats.
Yeah, and for the coaching staff, they've been very busy since that final game of the year in Michigan against Ferris State. They've been on the road and doing a lot of recruiting, and today's kind of the accumulation of all their work with the announcements that will be coming up here a little bit later during our show.
Yeah, and I'm curious to hear from Coach Wright, too, of just what kind of exhale you get to have right now of National Signing Day behind you. Now you just kind of focus on what you have around you and moving forward to build for the upcoming season. But you're right, a whole lot of windshield time for these coaches to be able to get out and sign all these young players and transfers as well. So far, 49 players have signed to come and join Northwest Missouri State University, potentially adding up another one to get to a nice even 50. But it's kind of fun seeing all the guys that are from this region branching out a little bit. We've got a couple coming in from California as well, and the family pipeline also pretty big for this particular recruiting class for Northwest.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think six signees already have brothers that are either part of the program or have gone through the program at Northwest Missouri State, and that says a lot, I think, as far as the feeling that they have about this coaching staff. If the parents of the ones that are coming in this year have had such a positive experience with maybe their sons that have already come through the program, so you know that means a lot. They talk a lot about family, and that definitely is the case with this signing group.
Yeah, you're right. That's stressed kind of up and down campus-wide. Northwest Missouri State University family is something that's really employed, but for this particular signing class, it takes on a whole new meaning with so many brothers coming in that have guys that are currently on the team, or even one that's a graduate assistant with Zach Martin, who's his brother Carter Martin signing today, and his brother Grant, already wide receiver. Then you look a little bit deeper, too. We see Miles Tatum, who is a wide receiver signing for Northwest Missouri State out of Huntsville, Texas. Of course, his brother Alec is a wide receiver for the Bearcats, and then, of course, his father actually coached on the Northwest Missouri State staff under Mel Churchman, so that one goes even a little bit deeper. So it is kind of cool to see these connections here up and down, and I think that's a good sign too that Northwest Missouri State University is doing something right in this football staff of making players feel at home and feel like this is a place that you can come in and really just be accepted by everyone around you. And you know, it's not the biggest community around, but there's still plenty to do, and the football program's doing it right.
A reminder that today's signing day coverage is brought to you by Bomley Auto Sales, providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com. We're on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville. And today's signing day coverage also is brought to you by Bearcat Inn and Suites on South Main, adjacent to Applebee's in Maryville. The newly renovated Bearcat Inn and Suites is a home away from home for our Maryville visitors and a proud supporter of Northwest Missouri State University. For more information, 660-562-2002. When we come back, we'll talk with the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright, about this year's signing group. That's coming up right after this time out from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Northwest Missouri State alumnus Joe Bomley has provided late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for KXCV, KLRNW comes from Bearcat Inn & Suites on South Main, adjacent to Applebee's in Maryville. The newly renovated Bearcat Inn & Suites is a home away from home for Maryville visitors and a proud supporter of Northwest Missouri State University. More information is available at 660-562-2002.
Today's game is supported by State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Codeman in St. Joe, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We are broadcasting live this morning on National Signing Day, and joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. Rich, it's always good to see you, but I know it's been a busy time for you. You've been on the road an awful lot here the last few weeks.
Yes, we sure as heck have. We've done a good job with our class. You know, this was a year where we didn't have a lot of money to work with. You know, we're relatively young as a football team, so I thought we maximized, what we needed to do within, you know, the constraints of our budget.
Whenever we look at National Signing Day, and of course there's a buzz, I think, for media and fans looking at it, what's that like from the coach's perspective of, we talk about wins on the field so much, what's it like, the wins in the office when those faxes come through?
Oh, it feels good. I mean, you know, you tell kids the night before, okay, we need this by such and such time because I'm going to be sitting down with the media at 11 o'clock, and then you wait for it to come in. And, you know, sometimes when you base your livelihood on the actions and decisions of 17 and 18-year-old kids, that can get a little interesting. Right before I left the office, there was one fax that I hadn't gotten yet, so I kind of lingered around a little bit to make sure that I got it so that I could talk about the complete class.
And I imagine, even though you've got a good idea of what's going to happen today, until you see it in black and white coming in over the fax machine, you're just never...
We've had surprises over the last few years. You know, every once in a while there'll be one that doesn't come in, but this year was pretty boring in the sense that we got everything that we were expecting.
When we look at this, of course, Missouri with the majority of the players, 25, 9 coming from Iowa, but then reaching out as far as a couple from California, one from Texas. Whenever you look at this, how does the team and the program adjust to targeting certain players in different regions as you kind of go with each class?
I think a little bit of the ebb and flow of that happens with what your staff is comprised of. You guys know that we've dabbled in Florida for several years, and we'll continue to look that way. But Coach Sturdy brings a lot of experience in the state of California. It's an area where there's a lot like Florida in the sense there are a ton of kids. And right now there's not a big Division II footprint out there, actually, other than Azusa, not one at all. And when you look at the population base, so much of what we do in this business is coach relationships. And if you find good programs with good coaches, California is an area, just because of the wealth of his experience, that we're going to look to kind of push into. The others are kind of standbys. We like Midwest, we like tough. So, Missouri obviously fits our culture. Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Illinois and Wisconsin have been, good places for us to go. We've dabbled now down into Southwest Arkansas. That's another little pocket that we see that resonates a lot like Southern Missouri. And so that we feel like moving forward, that's going to be a fit for us. And then we had the one kid from Texas, which the last name kind of, makes a lot of sense. So that was kind of our footprint for this year.
You talked about Illinois and Wisconsin. It seems like last several years you've been able to get a few good players coming out of there. Not only good players, but players that come in and contribute, that you're really targeting some good people out of those two states.
Obviously Wisconsin's got a lot of big kids, so that's our first thing that we look for. We're looking for linemen, but again, it just fits that blue collar mentality that we have as a football program. The state of Wisconsin, as far as a high school association, it's one of the best. Per capita, the level of coaching in the state of Wisconsin is really good, and so we feel like we get quality anytime we go up there.
Well, and you look at that, a guy like Andy Hessler that's leaving his mark on the program and now moving on after his football career wraps up. But how big is it to get, one or two from a state like that, and then a couple more kids see, well, Andy Hessler went there and from his freshman year found a way to make an impact on the field, and that kind of resonates with future classes.
It does it in any state that we begin to permeate ourselves into. It's, with Wisconsin, it just takes one or two. And once you get those kids, particularly from good programs, and they have a good experience at Northwest Missouri State, it's crazy how word travels. And, you know, our brand in the Midwest is pretty good. And, you know, that's the other thing that carries a lot of credibility is just, you know, in Division II football, everybody knows Northwest Missouri State in the Midwest. And, you know, there's a, you know, I went up there and actually spoke to their state coaches clinic a couple of years ago, and I was really surprised at, you know, just how well versed they were in Northwest and what we had been able to accomplish over the years. So, you know, those are key battle states for us. We're not going to wholesale, you know, recruit multiple numbers out of those states, but they're always places where we're looking to pluck a few.
You know, you talk all about family and Bearcat football team being a family, and that's really the case when you look at some of the ones you're bringing in here, too, with six players that have had a connection to the team with brothers that have gone through the program.
Yeah, you know, and a couple of these guys had bigger offers than Northwest Missouri State, but, you know, anytime you can get a family down on our campus and they get to see the type of atmosphere there is and just the brand of football that we play and the level of football in the MIAA, you know, a lot of times we're going to get that legacy kid. We're going to get that brother from the next class. And so, you know, we've just kind of continued that tradition.
Well, one of those guys, Sam Bouts, his brother Gabe, is on the offensive line, a starting offensive lineman right now for Northwest. And, of course, we're going to go and look at these position by position. But, man, we talk about Gabe and had him on the coach's show earlier this year. And a pretty good entrepreneur, guy with a good head on his shoulders already and kind of going down that business road. Do we see a Bouts and Bouts business coming up in Maryville?
Yeah, you never know. He might pass it right along. Sam, you know, is they're different. You know, one of the things about Sam, he has better feet than what Gabe had. He played tackle in high school instead of guard. Now we'll probably kick him down. But he's on, you know, again, we always look for that culture piece. He's part of a Catholic Memorial team that had won three state championships, really successful. The kid knows what it takes to win. If you know the family, they're hardworking. You know, they emphasize that in their children. You know, he's going to be a perfect fit into our Bearcat culture.
I would imagine not only is it when you recruit brothers into the program, not only is it good from their standpoint where they're familiar with what they're coming into at Northwest Missouri State, but from the coaching standpoint, doing the recruiting, you're familiar with the families that are involved there, and obviously there's a feeling that they bring a lot to the table there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we'll just take Sam, but you've got Clarkson. We've got several of them that have just been here, and it's neat in the sense that their transformation into the program is seamless because they've already got a network of people. But here's the thing that, you know, sometimes one of the toughest things in the recruiting process, you know, for parents is, you know, it's like back in their communities, they were so intertwined with their son's athletic career, and all of a sudden that goes away. And so when we get new parents, we do a lot of work to try and foster those relationships when they get to Northwest Missouri State. Well, if you take the Clarksons and the Boutses, just for example, they already have a network of friends in Maryville, Missouri. So they've got the next generation of son coming in, but they also pull all the new parents in, you know, and kind of immerse them in what there is here for the family. And, you know, it just kind of makes everybody's transition a little bit easier.
Well, looking at some of these positions and talking about the offensive line already a little bit, but, of course, Sam Clarkson and Sam Bouts coming in, but this position as a whole, seven offensive linemen. What's your takeaway from this group?
We wanted to get numbers in the offensive line. You know, I think you guys know that's been, you know, the line of scrimmage is a big area of emphasis for me. And so we want to continue to get bigger. We want to get longer. You know, in order for us to get out of our region, in order for us to play for a national championship, you got to win at the line of scrimmage. And we feel like we wanted numbers this year because we've got, you know, three kids that are going to be seniors. And in the offensive line, the transition isn't a one-year deal. It takes a little bit of time to get those guys ready to play. So there was a big emphasis within our offensive line, and we felt like we did a good job with our class.
What really stands out with that class?
Just size and physicality. You know, we felt like we landed, you know, the Ray kid from Battle was a kid that had two other Division I AA offers, Central Arkansas and Murray State. You know, we were winning some battles against 1AA schools. The Clarkson kid had several offers. You know, so did the Bouts kid. And anytime you're beating 1AA schools on your offensive line recruits, you know you're doing something right.
when you look at that defensive line, and that's a position that obviously you hold pretty close, leading that particular group. But, bringing in about four defensive linemen, including one of the KCI out of Lathrop and Colton Nichols. But that looks like a group coming in with some good size and some tough kids.
The Claiborne kid is a kid that you guys will want to watch for. He's short, but he's twitchy as heck. He can play a lot of different things. He's explosive. Colby had an offer to Army. So he had an FBS offer and chose to come to Northwest Missouri State. He was down here for camp. We got to see him, got to, put our hands on him a little bit. And he's a kid that I think has a lot of upside. If he was 3 inches taller, we wouldn't have talked to him. And, the service academies were interested in him, but he's a kid that I think is going to do great things for us at Northwest. The defensive line we signed for with an eye to kind of move out and branch out. We're gonna search the portal a little bit just because we lost five defensive linemen. We're gonna bring in at least one, if not two guys, and we've got the feelers out there. We're talking to several kids. We've actually brought a couple kids onto campus, but it's not gonna happen until after the semester's over. So the defensive line list, I was happy with the four kids that we got, but moving forward, there are gonna be a couple additions before we're finished.
And as far as the contributions they'll make, obviously with a lot of those, you want to go through the redshirt process. Every now and then you'll see a player pop out and play as a true freshman, but I imagine you're looking right now at a redshirt year for some of these.
Yeah, most of the, right now I would assume all these kids are going to redshirt. The toughest place to play in college is on the line of scrimmage, just because, the physical strength is such a premium prerequisite. Felt like we stole a kid on the defensive line, kid by the name of Steve Pollard out of California. I watched him on tape, and they're one of the things that we try to do, and I learned this from Coach Churchman, Coach Doral, is that you look for value. And sometimes in the defensive line in particular, that's one of the hardest positions on a football team to recruit, especially the type of person that we recruit, because we're looking for length. And in the Midwest, that can be tough to find. And so you kind of get yourself in a bidding war. And the problem is when you only have 36 scholarships, you've got to be a little careful about how far you extend yourself for each individual player. And so we started to look in California a little bit at defensive linemen, and this was a kid that really popped up. His tape is very comparable to a lot of guys that were signed at the Division I AA level, only he sits in California and the opportunities aren't there. And so we took a bit of an extension, but I think Steve is going to be a really good player for us.
Well, with Kobe, you talked about getting hands on them and seeing them actually in your camp. How huge is that to have kids come through? They want to get better, but it's a good recruiting tool for Northwest Missouri State. How much does that play into a lot of these kids?
It does. There are several of these guys that we signed that were at our camps. And not only is it a recruiting tool for the kid to actually gain exposure here, it's an opportunity for me to see, okay, trash what you knew in high school. This is the technique I want to teach you. Now, can you make the translation? Can you do what I'm coaching you to do? And you start to develop a sense of a kid's psyche, his ability to learn, his ability to adjust on the fly and utilize new techniques. And so anytime you can put your hands on a kid like that and start to catch a glimpse into how he picks things up mentally and what he does and what his turnaround is going to be, I think is advantageous.
Well, as far as some of the other positions here, what are some of the other things that stand out with the group?
Boy, I think we really nailed our linebacker class. We have a phenomenal group of linebackers this year. It was a good year for linebackers in the Midwest. Thought we did an outstanding job with that. Landed several guys from the area, Tucker Atwood being one. He was the 18-10 defensive player of the year out of Rockhurst High School. The Borum kid from Wisconsin was a heck of a football player up there. We signed several linebackers that we're really pleased with and where they're going.
Well, after that, too, the defensive backs, you bring in eight defensive backs, including a transfer in Edwin Brown out of Belleville, Illinois, coming over from Eastern Illinois. But you look up and down, you feel like quite a few athletes in that group.
We do, and we had to get better at that position. We felt like the last couple of years we had lost a couple guys. We've got two guys in our secondary right now that are going to be seniors next year with Jaravian and Blake Bear. So we felt like this was a year to go extend ourselves in the secondary and felt like we needed to create some depth. One of the things that we really kind of highlighted there was physicality. We look for guys. I told Brandon, don't bring a guy into my office unless he's going to hit somebody. And that's something that I really want to emphasize in the back end. Edwin's going to fill a void for that, I think. He's going to be in the mix. And, you know, we brought him in with the ability to have a chance to start. We'll see what happens. We've got some good players here as it is. But, you know, he's 6'4". He's 200 pounds. He's really rangy. He was an all-conference pick for them at Eastern Illinois, and we feel like he makes us better now. And you know, to fill the hole of Gassman, we felt like we needed to extend ourselves and do that.
Well, and a guy, too, that played some collegiate basketball, it's just kind of the broad, I guess, athleticism for a guy like that that can come in and play. I mean, if you can go up and get a rebound, you can go pick a pass off, right?
Well, you know, you think about that for a second, and it's one thing, you know, football's his sport, and, you know, he was all-conference as a football player. Actually, I think he was an All-American. And so then you transfer that. He's playing Division I basketball in addition, and everybody knows how difficult that is, you know, with those two sports and the way that they overlapped. And to have the athleticism to be able to go out on a basketball court and just see time is pretty amazing. He's a really good athlete. The kid's been an absolute film rat since he's gotten to campus. I told him he better make sure he's spending as much time in the classroom as he is the meeting room. But, you know, he's been great so far, and we're looking forward to big things from him moving forward.
When you look at the positions, how far in advance are you looking at? Obviously, you see what you've got coming back for next year, certainly, but you've kind of planned out 2 or 3 years in advance on when you're going to need this person to step in then?
Yeah, you know, what we try and do is not rely on freshmen to play for us, obviously. You know, the reason why we're successful is guys buy into the program, buy into the culture, get into the weight room, get their bodies mature and get ready to play. You know, our ideal compass is by that sophomore year or by that third year, they should start contributing to our football program. And so these guys aren't, you know, ready made for the most part and ready to go, but our expectation isn't that, you know. So what we're looking for is we're looking for them to just matriculate into Northwest and learn what the Bearcat way is and kind of try and grow and develop them. The nice part about our program is such is that we're set up that, you know, for the most part, we can do that. We have that luxury. We don't have to play a lot of guys early.
When you look at Northwest Missouri State, there's some good young guys in that quarterback room, and heck, Braden Wright's only going to be a junior, is that right? One quarterback coming in, Dawson Parks out of Kansas City, Missouri, played at Staley at a pretty high level there in Kansas City too.
Yeah, he's a good athlete, and you know, the other thing that kind of intrigued me about him is he was an all-state punter. And so, you know, we weren't quarterback wasn't high on our emphasis list this year. If you look at, you know, we've got Alex, we've got Krause, we've got Hohensey, and we got Braden, and they're all underclassmen. And so we felt if there was a year to kind of not go after a truly high-profile quarterback, that this would be the year.
As far as running backs and fullbacks, what are you looking for out of that with this year's class?
Well, you know, we landed the guy we wanted in the freshman class. But again, when you look, you know, from my lens, you know, the two guys that we lost were pretty good football players. We think Ja'Kai Mitchum is going to come in and have a chance to compete. But there's another area where we've kind of established and set money aside to look for a portal/transfer type kid. You know, we didn't want to do too much in the high school ranks, and which is why you didn't see the multiple number of guys. You know, we really wanted to focus and emphasize on finding one of those guys at the end of the spring.
Well, and one guy that's in that running back group out of Savannah, Jaden Brady, played in the MEC. And are those pretty easy whenever, obviously, just right down the road you've got a kid like that coming through?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Coach Webb at length about this kid, and it was a kid that they, you know, he just said that kid gave us problems. And, you know, cookie cutter wise, you know, height and weight, you know, he's a little on the smaller side, but he's explosive. He does a lot of things well. Had a great visit with him here when he was on campus, and you know, felt like he was going to fit us.
I would imagine a lot of weight goes to when you talk to some high school coaches like Coach Webb and maybe some others that not only their particular coaches, but coaches on other teams that have to go up against some of these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, one of the things that's nice for us in the state of Missouri is we have such great relationships with the high school coaches. And so, you know, tabbing their experience and what they see, I think sometimes that goes untapped to a certain degree. We're in a generation where, other than football, every other sport is so heavily into the AAU, and so they don't have as many relationships as I would say we do with the high school programs. Football's still high school central. You know, there is no AAU, there is no, you know, clubs. It's really driven through the high school, and I like it that way. And I think sometimes we get so enamored on tape, you know, what a kid looks like. The longer I do this, the more you trust the high school coach's evaluation, you know, particularly people that you respect and you know understand football. They can oftentimes provide you with a lot of intangibles that you don't otherwise know. You know, what is his work ethic? You know, what is he like off the field? What is he like in the weight room? You know, why is this kid going to be successful? Talent is a piece of it, but it's just a piece. You know, what you're looking is for that, you know, for a kid to come in here to Northwest Missouri State and be successful, he's got to be better than a good athlete. What are the other things that go into that for us that are going to make him successful at the next level? A big one is what's going to happen when the big fish comes into a big, you know, big fish in little pond jumps into a lake. And that's kind of what we perceive our program to be. How is he going to respond when he doesn't have success right away? How is he going to respond when it's going to take some time and he's got to invest? You know, which way will he go with that? What's his psyche like? And so those are all questions that we pose to the high school coaches, you know, across the state and across the region.
Well, looking up and down the offensive side as well, 10 wide receivers coming in, so really adding bulk to that position as well. But you also mentioned, too, Miles Tatum out of Texas. The last name gives that one away with Barton Alec. I assume that was probably a pretty easy recruit to bring in.
It was. You know, he's got great versatility. He plays at a high level down there in Texas, down in the Sam Houston area. He's got the same work ethic his brother has, and anytime you give me that work ethic, you're going to have a chance to be successful. We look for length at the high school level. That was something that we felt like we needed as a program. When you look at our wide receivers, you know, we've got a lot of good players, but length is something that we wanted to kind of try and address, and I felt like we did that. The Shelton kid out of Staley was a first-team All-State kid. He's a kid that can go. He's got a little bit of wiggle, so he was intriguing to us. But, you know, all in all, I felt like we did a good job with the receiving board.
Talk about length, and I imagine speed also right up there. You've had some burners through the years, and are we looking at that again here?
We got a couple kids in the class that can go, no doubt about it. The Shelton kid can definitely pick them up and put them down. But we've got several kids in there that we want to get into the mix and want to see them grow and develop. A couple of the longer kids could potentially be frame guys. We may kick them into tight end, but they've become athletic tight ends. And so it's just kind of wait and see what their bodies morph into and what we can do with them once we get them on campus. Coach Quinlan has a tendency to do a pretty good job with that.
You have a trio of guys also listed as athlete. Is that one that they lean a little more toward wide receiver, or you try to kind of stash those away as defenders?
It depends on the kid. If he can catch the ball, he's a receiver. If he can't, he's a defensive back. But we took some frames. The Bevin kid from Kearney, Missouri, I think is a really good player. 6'3", 228. He's a kid that, you know, we really like. We like the Lewis Central kid as well. We felt like we snagged a kid. He played defensive end and tailback in high school, and boy, he can do a lot of different things for us. So he's a guy that's potentially an H-back for us moving forward, and, you know, we feel like can be a really good player.
Also, getting that Lawson pipeline coming through, you have some pretty good players that were with Coach Dunn coming back.
Yeah, you know, that kid does a lot of things well. He was playing quarterback for them at Lawson. He's not a quarterback. I'll just preface it right there. He's going to play DB for us, but he's great with the ball in his hands, and that's why Coach Dunn did it. You know, the easiest way to create plays on the offensive side of the ball is to get it to the quarterback because he's always touching the football. So they utilized him a lot in that way. He's physical. He's athletic. We were really excited to get him.
Well, you have a kicker listed this year as well.
We actually got two.
All right.
So
there's a competition there.
We're going to have a little competition. You know, we had a little foresight in that. We decided that Parker's going to go into his senior year. And rather than try and do that with a freshman again, we wanted to give everybody a year under their belt before they had to try and go compete for the job. So to let those kids redshirt and let them kind of sort it out, I think is key for us.
Having this done, the faxes come through. This is a chance to kind of take a deep breath, exhale, and spend some time with the family now?
I'm probably going to have – we've got a couple guys that are still coming in. Like I said, this list, believe it or not, for 50 signees isn't done yet. We've got a couple more people in the works. I'm probably going to be busy next weekend with a couple of recruits that we want to talk to, a couple transfer guys. Want to solidify that, and then right around the corner is spring practice on March 16th. I can tell you that's the start date of that. So I may have a weekend that's free, and then we'll jump right back into it again.
Well, you had one listed here that you really don't see an awful lot of on recruits, and that's a creative producer or something along those lines.
You know, that's awesome. You know, this is a kid. You guys, I think because you're attached to the media, you'll have a sense of this. But, you know, 5 years ago, social media, the relevance of social media was minuscule. And now it's the lifeblood of a program because, you know, they literally – pump out your brand and pump out who you are and your image. And Parker is a kid that kind of got put on my radar by Tucker Peavy, as a matter of fact. He was working down in Kansas City for the Chiefs, found out at a later date that Kevin Berg was trying to recruit him to Kansas. And, you know, the nice thing about being at Northwest Missouri State is if he goes to KU, you know, he's one of 20 guys in a room just, you know, doing little things. You know, my vision for him isn't a whole lot different than it was for Tucker. You know, when Tucker came here as a student, he kind of morphed himself into something more. And I think Parker has the opportunity to do that. Giving a kid control of our football brand for 4 years, I think is going to be something that's going to help him develop and build a portfolio and create an opportunity for him to eventually you know, be able to go out on his own and land himself a pretty good job when his time at Northwest Missouri State is done. The payback for me is just if you get online and look at the quality of his content for, I don't know if he's 17 or 18, but for a 17 to 18-year-old kid, he's pushing out unbelievable content. And so, you know, we made him part of our recruiting class. We really did. He came on an official visit. You know, we recruited him just like a corporation would recruit any other employee, and we're really excited to have him.
Isn't it crazy how we went from his facilities and uniforms and that's kind of things that catch high school kids' eyes, and now all of a sudden it's the social media aspect is so much bigger to where a kid like this will be such an asset for years to come.
Well, let me lend a little bit of perspective on that. So if I've got a kid out in California and he knows nothing about Northwest Missouri State, if I can push three or four videos to him, does he now understand our brand? Does he understand the crowd? Does he understand the type of kids we have? Does he understand the level of football? It just creates a mental picture of what this place is and what it's all about. And I think that that's a key catalyst to help us moving forward, you know, in recruiting. It's such a big component of what we do as far as our recruiting is concerned. And it also, you know, it's a great tool to help Bearcat Nation stay connected wherever they're at.
Well, now that you have the players on the dotted line here, what's the next process with these players to make sure that when they come in to Northwest Missouri State, they're going to be ready to go?
Well, the next thing is Coach Quinlan will be sending them all weight programs. That's the first step. They'll actually videotape themselves doing the different lifts so we can take a look at technique and determine whether or not we feel like theirs is good. We will actually bring some of the kids in to try and fix some technique stuff. We want them, you know, one of the things that we look for, and I think you've seen a push in this in the last couple of years with a lot of coaches, we want them to finish their senior year. You get one crack at being a high school senior. If you're playing sports, do it. If you're a track and field guy or a baseball guy, you know, play the sport, enjoy your senior year, do all that. These guys are all chomping at the bit to get to Northwest Missouri State. And sometimes in life when you're 17 or 18, you want to get to the next step. Sometimes when you get a little older like me, it's more like, hey, you know, cherish what you have because that time is coming to an end. Enjoy the end of your high school experience, and come summer, we're going to get after you.
Wanted to ask you before we got to wrapping things up here, but we won't see the impact of these kids physically on the field at Bearcat Stadium probably for a couple years.
Uh-huh.
But are there a couple of guys that you look back a few years ago that, A, maybe you didn't think you would get or just came on as a walk-on that made a huge impact or just – kind of some fun memories that you look back on previous signing days that that turned out pretty well?
You know, it's amazing. If you go back, and I wish I had brought the list with me, Matt, it's you would be amazed at the number of walk-ons that we've had that have just been incredible contributors to our football program. I'll start it off with Brandon Clayton, Chad Bostwick, Dave Tollefson. You know, he won two Super Bowls. He came here as a walk-on. You know, some of the guys more recently, Jackson Barnes was a walk-on when he first got here. Jack Richards was a walk-on when he first got here. And just watching those guys morph themselves into great football players is really fun to watch. You know, and then we've had those guys like, you know, Sam Roberts, Zach Howard. You know, guys, Zach played as a true freshman. I've been here 16 years as the defensive line coach, and he's the only defensive lineman I've ever had play as a true freshman. The experience he gained as a freshman, I think everybody saw the uptick as a sophomore. Sam Roberts, Missouri State wanted to recruit him as an offensive tackle. He didn't want to play tackle. I told him he was a defensive end. You know, that worked out pretty good for me. So, you know, it's fun to watch those kids. Again, the talent piece is one component of it. Player of the year in the MIAA on defense was an eight-man football player out of Iowa. Spencer Phillips got every single thing he could have out of his body. I've told anybody that would listen, just from a talent perspective, he was probably the least talented of my four starters, but his work ethic, his care factor, his ability to understand what we do defensively, and then just that hustle that he played relentlessly every single snap. And those were the things that made the difference between him being okay and him finishing his career where he does. And to me, that's the most self-satisfying thing as a coach. It's not to just see good players. It's to see, did we get everything we could out of that kid's development in his 5 years? Because that really tells you whether or not I'm doing my job. If we can maximize a player's potential within his 5-year time frame at Northwest Missouri State, then we as coaches are doing our job.
Well, when you look at the group you're bringing in this year, obviously you feel like this is a good group. Did you bring in pretty much from position to position what you wanted to accomplish out of this year's group?
Yeah, I felt like we did. You know, the one thing is that we've got a couple positions that we're not finished with yet. That's a little different for us. But, you know, we kind of had a perfect storm in two positions, at running back and tight end, where we graduated two seniors at tight end. We graduated two seniors at running back. And so typically we're just replacing with high school guys. I'm going to tell you right now, that's probably not going to be the case for those two positions this year. And that's why you don't see the finished piece of this. But with the way recruiting is going right now, we didn't want to make a knee-jerk reaction as far as getting transfers in at December. The portal has changed everything in college athletics. You know, Justin Rankin was a kid that we brought in a year ago. You know, Isaiah Strayhorn was a kid I recruited out of Southwestern College in San Diego. You know, sometimes a little bit of patience is prudent. And rather than just, you know, I'm not a big box check guy. I'm not a guy that wants to finish my task and move on. If I don't see the right thing, then I'm going to look until I find the right thing. The other one being the defensive line. We lost five defensive linemen this last year. And so I've got to find a guy that I feel like can come in and contribute within the two deep moving forward, you know, just to kind of hedge our bets with where we're at, because the expectation with those front four guys, as you know, is pretty high around this place.
You know, signing day sometimes for football kind of feels like it's on an island. It's in February, especially around here. The Chiefs usually lose so early in the playoffs. But, man, it's just kind of bleeding on in to where we got the parade and signing day, and it's like it's football season all over again.
Yeah, you know, like I said, March 16th isn't too far away.
Not at all.
No, not at all there. Now, we've got coming up next your new offensive coordinator, Todd Sturdy, coming in, and a person that you've had a lot of background with through the years. Just tell us a little bit about bringing Coach Sturdy in.
You know, I was just really excited. You know, I wanted to, when the opening was available, you know, it was an opportunity for me to gain somebody that I just have a tremendous amount of respect for, number one. He's a good friend, number two, and he's an outstanding football coach. And I feel like we hit a home run with him. He's going to be phenomenal. He's just, you know, the thing about Coach Sturdy that, you know, in my time at St. Ambrose when I worked for him, is he's just a great teacher. He's just a good ball coach. He's really down to earth. You know, he understands the game inside and out, but more importantly, he understands kids. And, you know, I talked a little bit earlier about, you know, trying to maximize the potential of each and every football player on our team. And that was one thing that I took away in my 4 years at St. Ambrose working with him, because we were developmental guys at that time too. You know, it's not about where players come in at, it's about where they finish at. And the thing that Todd has an innate ability to do is he makes everybody around him better. And so the opportunity for me to work with him again is just outstanding, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Plenty of stories from Coach Sturdy on you from years ago.
Yeah, you can just skip those.
All right. Well, Rich, it's been a pleasure having you with us on the program this morning. And, again, congratulations on a great signing class.
Thanks. You know, the great part about recruiting is nobody ever evaluates it till 2 years later. So, you always talk about spin these classes. And, you know, shooting football, they don't play for a couple years. So.
All right. Well, Rich, again, thanks a lot for being with us here.
Thanks.
That's Rich Wright, the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State. When we come back, we'll talk with Todd Sturdy, the offensive coordinator for the Bearcats, coming in his first year with the Northwest. That's coming up right after this time out from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at heinleinhomefurnishings.com.
Support for KXCV, KLRNW comes from Bearcat Inn & Suites on South Main, adjacent to Applebee's in Maryville. The newly renovated Bearcat Inn & Suites is a home away from home for Maryville visitors and a proud supporter of Northwest Missouri State University. More information is available at 660-562-2002.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residents with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.coop.
Support for KXCV, KLRNW comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Northwest Missouri State alumnus Joe Baumley has provided late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville and our special broadcast on signing day for Northwest Missouri State, joined now by the new offensive coordinator at Northwest and Todd Sturdy. And Todd, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming into Northwest Missouri State, getting ready for your first, I guess your first spring, followed by your first falls as a coach here with the Bearcats. What's it been like? What's the transition to Maryville been like for you and your family so far?
Just got here a few weeks ago, but, you know, things have gone really smooth. Very excited, obviously, to be here and get started.
What were some of the things that attracted you to coming to Northwest and getting back with Coach Wright?
Working with Coach Wright, number one thing. So, you know, it's always great if you can take a job and know who you're going to be working with, have history with that person. Obviously, I felt extremely comfortable with that. Great tradition here, unbelievable program, all those things. So, but, you know, bottom line at the end of the day, it's worked many, many years with Rich and, you know, the relationship of trust and mutual respect and all those things, it all added up for me.
Whenever the process comes up, and was it Coach Wright giving you a phone call? Or and as you got on that phone call, your head coach at Mid-America Nazarene, is that a pretty easy call, or is that one that you go home and mull over for quite a while before making that decision to make the leap to Maryville?
Yeah, you know, there's always thought that goes into that, obviously. You know, throughout my career, it's always been based on my family. Obviously, you know, there's career decisions that need to be made. But really, at the end of the day, is it a good fit for my family, number one? Obviously, career-wise, is it a good fit in those things? And, you know, it was a tough decision. Obviously, I felt really good about the situation I was in. But at the end of the day, it was the right decision moving forward for my family and myself.
And looking at your background, not only a head coaching background, but background at a lot of Division I's as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so, you know, I was a head coach at St. Ambrose for 12 years. I got that job when I was 28. You know, they threw me a wad of keys and said, go get them. you know, it was just great experience getting to do that there. Rich and I, you know, really bringing Rich in, we took off as a program. It was really me and him. I mean, we sat in a room and stared at each other all day. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of, you know, full-time coaches. It was really me and him. But, you know, we left that program as the all-time winningest, you know, coaching staff there at the time. And, you know, obviously Rich had a lot to do with that. I had opportunities, went to Eastern Washington as the offensive coordinator in the Big Sky Conference. And from there, the head coach, Paul Wolf, got the head job at Washington State. He took me with him. I was the offensive coordinator there for 4 years. Got an opportunity to come back home to Iowa and coached on Paul Rhodes' staff at Iowa State for 4 years. So tremendous opportunity. And, you know, just along the way of doing all that, I've been doing it now 29 years. So had an opportunity to be head coach again and took the job at Mid-America. Wonderful, wonderful school, wonderful people. Had some challenges there to rebuild that program. We had, you know, we went 7-4 this year and played a bunch of freshmen, and we had the right guys back in the program. So, you know, I feel, you know, we took some big strides there and feel really good about where that program's at and where it's headed.
Not only getting in the right way in the win column, of course, finishing 7 wins this year, but if I read right, the highest GPA at MNU for the team on record under your watch. I mean, obviously, football is important, and we always love going out to the football games, but at the same time, getting the education is the reason they're in that school. Stressing education, that has to be something that, as you get out in the recruiting trails of Northwest Bearcat offensive coordinator, something that parents will really be happy about, be eased about, knowing that, yeah, you want to come out and win football games, but education is the bottom line.
Yeah, and I think really me, the big thing for me focus-wise, you know, in those situations, being a head coach and being around quality head coaches that I've worked for, and it's all about development. It's about development of these young people when they come into your program. Obviously, athletically, that's a no-brainer. They're going to develop physically, athletically. But then you got to look at all the different aspects of what it means to be a college student. Obviously, academically, we need to develop them. We need to develop their social skills. We need to develop them as human beings, you know, their values, all the things that we're doing there. And really, at the end of the day, are they prepared to go out in the world and make an impact and do the things that they want to do at the end of 4 or 5 or 4.5 years?
And that's something that obviously fits very well with what Coach Wright's tried to do here at Northwest.
Exactly. It's culture. The culture here is extremely strong. It's what's allowed them to have consistent, continued success. And it really all starts and ends with culture for me. And that I felt right away here. I knew it. It doesn't take you long. You can just go watch a weight session. You can, you know, as soon as you're around those kids, you see it instantly. You know what the culture is. It's based on leadership. It's based on player development. And they obviously have the recipe here for that.
You know, I think there's obviously a thought there that, you know, Division One is where all these kids want to be initially, but you have to kind of be at the place that you can play and be at your best overall. And, you know, you've been throughout Division One, you've been in the Big Sky, the Pac-12, the Big 12. When you come back here to Northwest Missouri State and you get in that weight room and you're working with those kids, do you really see that much of a difference between the Division One weight room with these guys to coming down and working with these same kids that are blue-collar athletes?
No, I think the best example I can give to you would be, you know, I thought about this year, and I had a kid make a big play at the end of the game, and we won a football game. But it's about relationships with players. I had as much fun coaching this year as I've had at any level I've been at. It's really when kids run onto the football field, they have – don't matter where you're at, they have just as much invested. It's just as important them to win, whether you're in the NAIA, Division II, 1AA, Division I. Kids are kids. It all goes back to, you know, developing relationships with those kids, you know, and being around that culture and that team environment. And that's what, to me, coaching's coaching. And, you know, I really believe – and I know they use this around here quite a bit, but the big time is where you're at. Doesn't matter, because it all goes back to those things.
As far as the type of philosophy you have as an offensive coordinator, what are some of the things we can expect to see out of the Bearcats offensively?
I'm a big guy on, using what I got. So, you know, I was no huddle in 2000, started no huddle, doing all that. I've been in a huddle. I've been no huddle. I've done all these different things. But really, we're not going to head in a direction until I understand what personnel I have, who those people are, what we need to do to build the system. Obviously, we're going to work extremely hard on running the football, being balanced, you know, trying to get big plays, obviously, in the passing game, but being as balanced as we can, you know, those are things that are important. What's that look like? I'm not quite sure yet because I don't know what I'm dealing with completely. Obviously, I've watched a lot of tape and all those things, but that's a work in progress yet. But, you know, ultimately, you know, balanced team, want to run the ball and throw the ball efficiently.
I think what we all want to know is, when do you start teaching the Patrick Mahomes no-look pass?
Yeah. If it works, it works. You know, just completions. I don't care how you get to it, but, yeah, no doubt.
And do you have the goal line play the Chiefs used there early in the ball game on Sunday?
Yeah, we might have to do that. Maybe that's what we'll do the whole game. I don't know. So we'll see.
Whatever works. Now, we look at this signing class in Northwest bringing about, I believe, about 50 kids. But, one, I believe you're probably a better relationship with some others, with Keegan Sturdy, your son there, coming in, transferring in from Mid-America Nazarene, the chance to coach him here with Northwest Missouri State, coming over with you. How special is that for you? And whenever you get in there, do you actually hold Keegan to a higher standards than the other guys in that group?
Yeah, that was a blessing for me, for our family, just the opportunity for my son to play for me. I was so excited about it, and, you know, it was, again, truly a blessing. Just enjoyed everything about it. He's a great kid. No thanks to me. His mother's done a great job raising him. Just an unbelievable opportunity. But, you know, you find yourself as, you know, the coach, and, yeah, I think coaches' kids are held to a little bit higher standard sometimes, or, you know, you always just want to make sure that, you know, you're making the right decisions based on the team and all those things. But he earned everything he got this year. He ended up starting the second half of the season, had a really good year as a freshman, and did some really nice things for us.
Well, as you look toward the spring ball, I imagine you're getting pretty anxious to see what you've seen on tape now and get them out on the field and kind of see what they do in person.
Yeah, I'm really excited about all that. And, you know, when we come into this, they've won a ton of football games. We just want to make sure philosophically we're playing complementary football with our defense and special teams, doing the things that we need to do to, you know, put us in a position to win football games. So, you know, all of those things are kind of being discussed and talked about now. You know, coaching the coaches in the room, new system, new terminology, different things like that. There's a lot that goes into that. Obviously, also, I want to look at all the things that they've done here and have done really well, because we want to make sure we continue to do those things too. So, yeah, there'll be a blend of some new and some old, and trying to bring it all together.
As Bearcat fans get to know Todd Sturdy, what's one thing, not football related, just a random fact about Todd Sturdy that Bearcat fans should know going into the year? Any hidden talents or
no
game
I have,
you want?
I have no talents. I'm kind of a gym rat, so you know, if you need to find me, I'm probably in that office.
Well, any good stories about Rich that perhaps people don't know about?
I've been sworn to secrecy.
we'll give you a couple months, we'll come back around.
No doubt.
All right. Well, Todd, thanks a lot for being with us on the show here today, and look forward to talking with you through the years here at Northwest Missouri State.
You bet. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
And that's the new offensive coordinator at Northwest Missouri State with the Bearcat football team, Todd Sturdy. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson's right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Bearcat Inn and Suites on South Main, adjacent to Applebee's in Maryville. The newly renovated Bearcat Inn & Suites is a home away from home for Maryville visitors and a proud supporter of Northwest Missouri State University. More information is available at 660-562-2002.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. More information on camping and lodging is at MazingoLake.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911, or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Northwest Missouri State alumnus Joe Baumley has provided late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on our special edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, a little bit earlier than what we normally come due to today being National Signing Day, as we've just talked with head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright, as well as a new offensive coordinator for the Bearcats in Todd Sturdy. Along with Matt Trent, and I'm John Coffey, and a reminder, too, that today's National Signing Day coverage is brought to you by Baumley Auto Sales, providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville. And our Signing Day coverage also brought to you by Bearcat Inn and Suites on South Main, adjacent to Applebee's in Maryville. The newly renovated Bearcat Inn & Suites is a home away from home for Maryville visitors and a proud supporter of Northwest Missouri State University. More information available at 660-562-2002. Well, Matt Trent, as we take a look at this list, 50 players signed to a national letter of intent coming into Northwest Missouri State. As we hear from Coach Wright, looks like another good group. They'll be wearing the Bearcat green and white.
Yeah, it's exciting to go through and see the athletes. And you know, we don't have pictures here or don't have any tape in front of us, but you kind of put that visual image of some of these guys, the heights and the weights and you know, the descriptions of what they've got coming in with some of these guys as burners or just on the line that are maulers. And so it's going to be a couple years before we see them really probably make a big impact on the field. But it's exciting to see where this program's headed, and that's headed in the right direction. Once again, coming off a 12-win season of running the playoffs, but it's just a great time that not only is it a whole 50 players coming in, but so many guys with ties to Northwest Missouri State University, whether they're from hometowns of current players or maybe even brothers of current and former players, a good family connection there up and down. So it should be a good class, and it's going to be fun watching these guys develop over the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, it's been fun, too. A little bit different what we've done the past few years, where we broadcast from the Northwest Athletic Offices, bringing it out to the public here at Carson Sports Grill. And the folks that are still in town that did make the trip down to Kansas City for the Chiefs Parade, I think had a chance to enjoy it here.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's always good to get to see Carson first thing in the morning coming out and chat with him here in his restaurant. But, no, you know, some folks coming out here this morning, but also a chance that if you are at the Chiefs Parade or on the road heading there or to and from, can still tune in and find out what we have coming up here for Northwest Missouri State football and these guys coming in.
Well, while we're talking football today, we've got basketball tomorrow night as Northwest Missouri State will face Central Missouri. The women will tip off at 5:30 and the men at 7:30. That'll be a couple of fun games tomorrow night out of Bearcat Arena.
Well, you think about the women's game, they were up by 1 point on the Jennies in Warrensburg, ended up getting beaten that game ultimately. But this is a team that has knocked down some shots these past couple of games we saw against Newman and Central Oklahoma on the road. The defense has been there. And I think that Central Oklahoma game, I don't know if people are really grabbing the magnitude of how good Central Oklahoma is and how big of a win that was on the road. So that was a really good win for the Bearcats over the Broncos. So now if they can kind of keep that rolling on their home floor against the Jennies for the women. And then on the men's side, one loss this season. And it came to that Mules team, and it was a game where offensively just things weren't going down, and the Bearcats couldn't get things rolling early on. So I would imagine that this will be a much different outcome, and there will be a bit more of a chip on the Bearcats' shoulder coming in. But, again, you can't discount the Mules because their three conference wins are over three of the better teams in the league with Northwest, Missouri Southern, and Washburn. So it's a weird Central Missouri men's basketball team, but I have a feeling Coach Mack will have the guys ready to go.
Yeah, and I think that'll be the case. Again, our coverage will begin at 5 o'clock with our pregame for the women. Again, the women tip off at 5:30 and the men at 7:30, part of a doubleheader on KXCV, KRNW. Then they're back at home on Saturday as they face Lincoln University Saturday afternoon. So an opportunity for the fans to take in some pretty good basketball tomorrow night, then on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and we saw the Bearcat women pick up their first MIAA game of the year was on the road against Lincoln in Jefferson City and came away with a 20-point win and held Lincoln, to, I think, in the 30s in that basketball game. So owned the Blue Tigers in that one. And then the men also came out running against Lincoln in that one too. So was that the 43-point game for Ryan Hawkins
in Jeff City, right?
So I guess we'll expect 43 at a Ryan on Saturday once again.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, I'll do it for our broadcast from Carson's this morning. Again, thanks to everyone involved with the broadcast, Matt Trenton. Also, Colin McDonough from behind the scenes helping us out with all the signings that are taking place this morning. Jacob Blair helping out as well. I'm John Coffey, and you're listening to KXCV Maryville, KRNW, Jillicothe.